You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now, let's get on with today's show. When we talk about raising powerful girls, it's important to recognize that girls come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and abilities. Just because a girl has a disability, it does not mean that she cannot or should not be mentored in how to be strong, smart, independent, and powerful. On the contrary, these girls need guidance more than ever to overcome the challenges and prejudices they face on a day-to-day basis. My guest today is New York-based Farah Linner, who is mom to Tristan, 8, and the chromosomally enhanced Francesca, who is 2. A lifetime ago, she worked in PR and marketing for dance companies and organizations both in New York City and London. But she currently has her hands full as a stay-at-home mom. Since the birth of her daughter, Frankie, she has increasingly found a voice to advocate and educate about Down syndrome. Her writing has been featured on the Mighty website and the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network blog. Well, welcome, Farah. It's so great to have you here. Tell me a little bit about your magical little girl named Frankie.
Thank you, Maria. My daughter, Frankie, is 2.5 years old. She surprised us when she came into this world, firstly by being a girl, because we all swore up and down I was having another boy, but secondly by having an extra chromosome. So she has Down syndrome, and I knew nothing about it when she was born. And it's been an incredible learning curve for the past 2.5 years.
Awesome. So I wanted to have you on today to talk to our listeners about raising a powerful girl. And I loved that you wrote that this topic was important to you because you want to help create awareness in the world that when we talk about raising a powerful girl, we talk about raising a powerful girl in general. And it doesn't matter if she has an extra chromosome or if she has anything else about her that's unique. But with that comes different challenges, right? What are some of the challenges you feel you're facing with Frankie in terms of raising her to be powerful?
Well, I think what happens when you have a diagnosis like Down syndrome, you start off from this place of she can't, she won't, she will never do X, Y, Z, from walking and talking to then holding a meaningful job or going to college or getting married and having a family of her own. So, you know, initially the challenge was my own perceptions and sort of overcoming this thought in my head that I had of this perfect little girl. I've had to reevaluate what that means. And over the past 2.5 years, as she's grown, I've found that maybe my ideas of that perfect girl were not dashed by this diagnosis, that she could still be strong and smart and powerful, but it just looks a little bit different for her. Her challenges, you know, like I said, they are physical, they are cognitive, but they are also social. And I don't mean that in the way she approaches the world, because she actually is very social. She loves people. She'll say hi to everybody on the street. She is the mayor of her little preschool class, and she is an all-around star in that sense. But, you know, people have very outdated notions about what it means to have Down syndrome. And so there is this challenge of sort of breaking through to people so that they can see her and not just Down syndrome.
Yeah, I love what you said at the beginning about this idea that you had of what this perfect little girl was, because I think that's so relatable to all mothers in general, and not just a mother that, you know, is facing a different circumstance or challenge like you are with Frankie. Because, you know, I myself had this vision in my head of, you know, what my pregnancy was going to be like with my first daughter, what my labor was going to be like, and what, you know, her childhood was going to be like. And when I had Alexa, I had a very difficult pregnancy. I had a very difficult labor, and she was born with some medical conditions. And so we were in and out of the hospital a lot. And I started to get really sad because there were so many things that I wanted to control, right? It was my control over making this her life. And one of the best pieces of advice that I was given, and was probably the first point in my life where I took a step back and how I parented, was my midwife said to me in midst of tears when I was sobbing, she said to me, "Maria, this is Alexa's journey. It's your job to guide her on the journey. You cannot change who she is, what she's going to do, and, you know, what she'll become, because that's already in her. Your job is to see her for who she is and help guide her to make the best choices." And I think that's something that so many of us face, right, is to be able to look at this beautiful little girl that you have and say, well, who are you? And let me guide you. And, you know, I've seen you on social media and what you do with her. And to me, makes me very emotional, because I think it's so amazing, you know, because you see, when I see Frankie, I see brilliance, I see magic, I see spunk, I see feistiness, I see passion for learning and loving people and connecting. And if that's not a powerful girl to me, I really don't know what is. What are the things that you have learned that you absolutely adore that she does, or, you know, that you never thought you would see in her, that you didn't imagine?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think one of the main things I've learned is that when we say every child has their own strengths and weaknesses, we mean every child. I thought in the beginning, right, well, she will do some things better than other kids with Down syndrome, and she might not with other things, she might not be as good as other kids. But it's everything, it's every child. I look at her doing things that her brother my son is 8 years old. When he was 2.5, he didn't do so many things that she really excels at now. And, you know, it's as simple as eating with a fork. Like, she's just better at that than he is for some reason. And she loves to get herself dressed. She's got a real independence with that. I mean, he would still let me get him dressed if I let him. But yeah, I think it's been so fascinating. There's something really liberating about Down syndrome where, you know, like I said before, you start from this place of can'ts and nevers and, for all intents and purposes, really low expectations. And that sort of, it seems unfair to say it, but it's true. So you don't expect all that much. But as you go along and your child is doing all of these things, you discover that she has a real spirit about her, and she has a real sense of independence. And I think that's how this notion of how can I help her be more powerful within herself has come about, because I didn't expect that out of her. And now that it's there, now that I see it, I don't want to squash it. I want her to feel powerful and strong and smart. And how do I do that for her without just paying her lip service? I don't want it to be a farce. I don't want to say to her, "You can do anything," when there are obvious limitations. So it's been really interesting sort of discovering all these things about her and thinking about how I can guide her on to the next thing.
Yeah, I love that. Do you feel like now where you are in your journey, your limitations of what you thought she should or she couldn't do has changed, that you realize that maybe she can do more than you had expected, and that's opened your ideas and mind to what else might she might be able to take on that you never thought she would?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've learned that not to underestimate her for a second, because she's constantly proving me wrong. And, you know, to let her decide what she can and can't do instead of me or some doctor or her therapist. I've noticed about her that there are times when we think she's not able to do something, but she takes her time getting there. But also I feel that a lot of times it's not that she can't do something. She takes quite a while to observe. And then when she's confident enough about something, then suddenly she's got it down. And I think, you know, all of these things that I'm saying really can be applied to typical children as well. What Down syndrome does is it really makes you a bit more attuned to things like how my child learns. You really pay attention to how they're responding to what you're inputting.
How has it changed with your son? Because your son does not have the extra chromosome. And how has having Frankie and seeing how she kind of navigates the world, and I'm sure you've probably seen that you've given her different types of encouragement. How has it changed your parenting with your son? Has it made an impact in his life?
Yeah, absolutely. When he was about the same age she is now, I wrote this blog post, and I sort of cringe to revisit it now, because I wrote all about how I hoped he would achieve this and that, and what kind of person I was hoping he would be, and the man that he would grow into, and blah, blah, blah. And now I look at it and I realize that was all about me and what I want for him, and not necessarily what he wants. Also, I think I have a much different appreciation of somebody's journey career-wise. You know, I used to think, right, it meant everything to go to school, you graduate high school, you go to college, you get a job, and, you know, then you have your family and everything all follows suit. With her, you know, we don't know what her journey will look like. Right now, I am constantly looking around, not necessarily seeking them out, because I try not to look too far ahead, but I've always got my eyes open to possible things that she can do in the future, like, you know, possible careers and just what she might do to give her life purpose in the future. And that's definitely affected the way I look at him as well. I see so much value in vocational training now, and I don't think that everybody has to have a white collar job or anything. You know, there are so many possibilities within the world. I look at myself, and you know, I followed that journey. I went to college and I got a job. You know, 3 months fresh out of college, I was working. And after, you know, 5-7 years, whatever, maybe it was a 7-year itch, you just realize that, you know, this isn't making me entirely happy, just going to an office every day. And I started to really get this desire to do something with my hands and to just be more creative. I'm not saying that that has been realized yet, but I am very aware that there is more to life than just this going to college and then going to work every day. And yeah, the rat race, I guess you might call it.
It's finding the pleasures in simple life and finding the joy in life and living, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just the normal grind.
Yeah. And you don't have to go to Harvard and get a job on Wall Street and all of that, because that's not what makes you happy in the end. You know, this little girl has made me happier than I've ever been. And there's just joy in the tiniest little things every day.
That's amazing. I love that. Are there things when you had Frankie and you found out that she was unique, were there things that you had thought to yourself when that happened, well, I'll never be able to do this with her, or I'll never be able to experience that, you know, some crushed ideas or dreams that now you look and you have either gotten things that were even more amazing, or these ideas in your head that you had that you would never be able to do with her, you actually have. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. When we got that diagnosis, just back it up a second, that, you know, previous to having a diagnosis, whenever I dreamed about a little girl, I thought of, you know, this sort of smart, sassy little thing with her hands on her hips, and, you know, and we would get manis and pedis and go to the ballet, and she would, you know, like I said, go to college and, you know, dances in high school and all of these things. And then you get this diagnosis and everything sort of crashes to the floor. We didn't know that we were having a girl. And I didn't dare to ever hope to have a girl. I always kind of envisioned myself as a boy mom. So when they said in the delivery room, it's a girl, I can't even describe to you. It was just the most amazing feeling. And then they handed it her to me, and I looked and I knew right away, and I looked in her eyes and my stomach just dropped. And it's just this feeling of everything crashing down around you. And I can think back to that moment and feel so ashamed and so sad that I felt that way, because I didn't think she was capable of anything. And now I look at her and she is every inch the little girl I always dreamed of. She is sassy and she is smart and she knows what she wants. She's very independent. But aside from that, you know, we take her everywhere that we go, and there's nothing we can't do because we have her. And I think that all of those things are great for her. You know, life is the best therapy for her. So, you know, this summer we went to the beach a lot. There's the sand was great for her muscle tone and balance and strengthening. And there are so many sensory experiences, and just being around her family and letting everyone love on her. I mean, all of that, it's just, I always say we're adding wrinkles to her brain by just including her in life.
Right. And not holding back or holding back from doing certain things because of limitations that you might have in your mind that you're placing on her, right? Because I feel like a lot of what you're doing is that you're learning to not place limitations on her. That if there's going to be a limitation that's placed, it's placed because she physically can't do it or chooses not to do it at that moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm learning a lot about letting things myself as well, about worrying what other people might think of her and worrying about people noticing by the way she looks that she has Down syndrome, or by the way she might act if she sort of runs around the room at a class or something and that she's not paying attention. I cringe sometimes. I think that people are thinking that she is doing that because she has Down syndrome. But I know in my heart that it's because she's two and she doesn't want to sit down. But yeah, I mean, I think that's been my biggest lesson, because really there's nothing that she can't do without a little help. And, you know, obviously she has to choose to do it, which she sometimes chooses not to do. But it's me setting the limitations on her, and I've really learned to just back off and let her be herself.
I love that. What were some sources of support for you when you had Frankie? What helped you get on your feet and, you know, shift your mindset? Because this had to be a mindset shift for you to be able to, you know, come home with her and say, we're going to do this and we're going to do this right. And, you know, mommy's going to make sure that you, you know, succeed at life. What caused that mind shift?
We had a birth diagnosis and, you know, there are some people who have a prenatal diagnosis and so they spend their pregnancy worrying. So, I mean, some people are amazing and are great right off the bat. I'm not sure I would ever be that person. So yes, there was a definite shift for me, but I mean, just having a physical person to look after really helped me get on with it because, you know, I had a baby that I had to take care of and I had Tristan as well, who, you know, I had to get off to school every day and stuff. And I couldn't really wallow in it. My husband was unflinching when he got the diagnosis. It didn't for a second deter him or make him sad. I only saw him shed a tear once, and that was when we discussed whether or not she might be able to have a family of her own in the future. But so he was really my rock. My parents were amazing. You know, they came to visit us as much as possible, and they just took her on as if she was just their grandchild, and she is, you know. And I think that helped. And then Tristan as well was just, we didn't tell Tristan until Frankie was about a year old, because we felt like he couldn't really comprehend what we were talking about at that point. He was 5 and a half. But also it just didn't matter. He had this little sister, and surprisingly, because who wants a baby sister when you're 5 and a half? He just kind of, they were just like peas and carrots just from the beginning. Amazing. So in terms of my family, you know, those were the key players. I found a really good support community online. And I often think back and wonder what previous generations of families with children with Down syndrome, how alone they must feel. Because though Down syndrome is the most common genetic disorder, I look around my community and there aren't that many people who are in the same boat as we are. So I found this amazing online community. There's a local Facebook group that I belong to. So families all within New York City. And then also the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network, which they really reach out to families and they place you in groups, again on Facebook, that are separated by age group. So you are with other people who all have children around the same age as you. And I think that those two groups in particular really helped me because one is local, and there's all that local knowledge about how to navigate early intervention services, which are different from state to state, and, you know, local doctors and specialists and all of that. And then there's this group where the children are all the same age, and so you can really get a feel of what other people are doing to help their child, and not that we compare, but get a sense of what other kids are doing.
Awesome. That's really amazing that you were able to find that support system. And I'd love to get that information from you afterwards so that I can share that with our listeners if there's anyone else out there that's looking for, you know, support. What do you think have been your biggest challenges with society and how are you navigating those?
We have been very, very lucky. People have been really supportive and really kind. It doesn't hurt that she's a gorgeous little thing. But, you know, relatively, I think people have been very, very kind. I think when you start to kind of branch out, especially onto the internet, and you see comments that other people are making towards children and other parents with children with Down syndrome, I think that it's sort of a punch in the gut, you know, to know that the wider society is not totally accepting of your child. Sometimes even that they feel animosity towards your child or you for bringing your child into the world. That hurts my heart. And, you know, it does make me second guess how things are going to be for her when she gets out into the world. So I think there is this feeling that there's not total acceptance of her in greater society, and there are people who will doubt her abilities just by looking at her face. They won't even give her a second thought. And I find that really hard to take. And so my way to counter that has been to educate and advocate. And I think, you know, since she's born, I've really found a voice to do that. Because I think when I am talking on, we use Instagram a lot and Facebook, and I have a blog as well. I think when I'm talking about her and by default other children with Down syndrome, it's all coming from the heart. It's all coming from our experiences, and I'm not making it up, and I'm not lying, you know, in order to tell people, you know, children, you're wrong about children with Down syndrome. The fact is, people are wrong about children with Down syndrome, and they are capable of so much more than they're given credit for. You know, just a generation ago, children with Down syndrome would be put in an institution, or families wouldn't be able to take them out with them. I can't even imagine not being able to take her out with me, to be so fearful of what people will think or do that I would be compelled to keep my child hidden away. I think that's really sad, and that's really scary. And I'm really glad that despite the few sort of flickers of animosity that we see sometimes, that for the most part, people are kind.
That's awesome. I can't even imagine having, you know, to go through what people had to go through years ago. And I love that you really aren't getting a whole lot of animosity from people, and that we are starting to shift the perception in society that, you know, I think the perception in society needs to be shifted completely, not just from judging children with Down syndrome, but judging people upon their first appearance, right? Mm-hmm. It's, we need to stop looking at people and making a decision or a presumption on who they are and what they might be capable of doing, and really working on getting to know the person. And I think that's such a gift that you're giving Frankie and your family and everyone that you touch, because you're doing that. You're helping educate people to stop looking at her for what she looks like and start getting to know her, and then make a decision once you get to know her, right? Because she's already blown your expectations away. Yeah. She's going to blow their expectations away as well.
Thank you so much, Farah. I appreciate your transparency and sharing with us your journey and a piece of your heart. I love hearing about the incredible things you are doing to empower Frankie every day, and I hope your story touches our listeners and is a powerful reminder on the importance of empowering all girls of abilities and walks of life. To find out more about Farah, you can find her at eyeslikesapphires.com. To hear the rest of this interview as we further explore this topic, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details. Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.